All right. I'm kind of sad. This is the last one in my sermon series on commitment. And I like what God has been showing me in the life of Daniel and his friends. And if you've missed any of the sermon series, I know that we get them up on the website. You can grab it that way. We usually have copies of the CDs outside. You can grab one. They're free. If we're out of a certain day, just let the sound team know and they can make you more copies. And matter of fact, you can share them with other people. Allow God to use his word to grow people. But we're going to start in the same scripture verse that we've been starting every single one of these in. This week, I have the ERV version. I think it's called the Easy Reader's Version. We'll see how easy it is to read. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "So I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. Considering what he has done, it is only right that you should worship him in this way. Don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect." So what are we reading here? God was so merciful that so to repay that mercy, we should do it with surrender. It's only right when someone is willing to give you so much to the point of death that we should be willing to give everything back to them. And I like it. It says, because when you model yourself after someone, it's saying, don't model the world. Model after me. Follow my example. Allow God to shape the way you think. If you do that, you will have the ability to not only understand what God wants you to do, but you'll be able to do it because of your commitment to him. Now, as I'm kind of wrapping up this sermon series, I have a couple questions. Yeah, they're somewhat rhetorical, but I mean, who are you following? Who are you following? Well, you know what? I know that. It's based on the decisions you make. That tells me who you're following. What do you allow inside your heart and your mind to impact the way you think? I know that. I know that based on the decisions you make. That tells me what you allow inside your heart and mind. Do you hear, understand, and obey what God asks? Do you? I know that based on the decisions you make. Do you make your decisions based on emotions and feelings or on your high commitment to God? I know that based on the decisions that you make. I mean, I started this sermon series talking about how low commitment the world is in almost every area. You're almost taught that not only is it okay, but it's a wise thing to be low commitment. Because if something doesn't work, just leave it. Just stop doing it. I mean, even from like, the world kind of starts at a young age. I mean, even like children, as soon as you're old enough to watch TV, movies, it's all about low commitment. If it's not fun, if it's not convenient, if it's not comfortable, if it doesn't fit your schedule, quit. Just end it. Find something else because there's lots of options out there. But I hate to say it, because of that culture we live in, I believe a lot of us have become opportunists. I do. I mean, I guess it comes down to, you know, we're always looking for ways to upgrade our life. We are. I mean, whether it's a car, because I need a better ride. I do, you know, or maybe it's clothes. You know, the interesting thing I learned, and for those of you who are moms of daughters, I was told that justice clothes, once you leave elementary school and go into middle school, they're not cool anymore. So this is a tip for you. You know, I have a fifth grader. This is important information. So once you leave fifth grade, see, because in elementary school, justice is the cool stuff. it's not cool anymore in middle school. So I'll save you some pain. Your daughters are not going to want that anymore. Because, you know, we need to upgrade our clothes because we have an image to, you know, to portray. You're welcome. You know, I know you needed that. And we're looking to always, even to upgrade our jobs, right? Because we have to upgrade our jobs in order to pay for all the other upgrades in our life. So we need to upgrade our job. And we need to upgrade our friends. Because, I mean, we're always looking for the more popular ones, right? There's a certain crowd that we want to be in, you know, because we want to look cool. And I know us adults, you know, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. And we even want to upgrade our food. I mean, it's not the small. Have you ever ordered fast food? You know, you order your meal. I'll take the number 8. Well, would you like that small, medium, large, or would you like to supersize that? I mean, well, of course, I want a super, because I always want the upgrade. But I mean, is it wrong to want to better your life? Well, I guess it comes down to, what is your purpose in this world? Is it to continually upgrade your life and your family's life, or is it to accomplish the purpose that God has for you? Is it to obey everything that God asks, regardless of whether it will upgrade or downgrade your life? I mean, we've seen in the life of Daniel and his friends, they've had so many opportunities, right, to upgrade their life, haven't they? They've been presented opportunity after opportunity. Well, I mean, it looked like, at least on the face, you know, on the surface, that it was a good opportunity. I mean, all they had to do was eat the meat. All they had to do was drink the wine, right? That's all they had to do. I mean, and honestly, how bad could that have been? I mean, who doesn't like a juicy steak? I mean, I do. I like it. And they probably were tired of eating vegetables all the time. You know? I mean, all they had to do was kind of take the glory from God, you know, in that whole dream interpretation thing. That's all they had to do. You know, when they didn't even have to lie. All they had to do, you know, when they got brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was like, well, do you have the interpretation? Well, yes, I have the interpretation. And not say anything else, right? You know, kind of like, yeah, I got it. I mean, yes, Daniel did have the interpretation, but who did he get it from? He didn't have to say it was from God. He could have just, you know, well, here, Nebuchadnezzar, let me tell you what I have, and you tell me if this was a good interpretation or not. Opportunists. They had the perfect opportunity. I mean, even last week, all they had to do was to bow down to the statue, right? That's all they had to do, was bow down to the statue. I mean, all right, so you bow down to it once, go back to your room, and ask God to forgive you. I mean, that's what we do in life, right? When, you know, we want something, we know God kind of says no, we do it anyway, and then we just ask God forgiveness later, right? We just, God, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean it. You know, it was nothing personal, but, and then we'd almost get indignant. Well, God, what good would we have done to you dead? If we didn't bow down, they were going to kill us. So, you know, I mean, you know, it just makes logical sense that obviously you must have just wanted us to bow down to it and ask you forgiveness later because, you know, I mean, we're going to lose influence with people if we don't bow. Daniel and his friends, time and time again, were put in positions that challenged if they were going to be committed to God or they were going to be committed to anything else. And time again, we learned that they had already decided. They had already made the decision that no matter what choice they were given, it wasn't even a choice. They were going to follow God, no matter what. Now, let me give you some background about the story this morning. So last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Now, that was chapter 3. Now, I'm skipping over chapter 4 and 5. Now, one of the chapters I'm actually going to hit in an upcoming sermon series. So you'll get one of the two. One of them is about, they're a good read. Go and read chapter 4 and chapter 5 this week of Daniel. One of them is about King Nebuchadnezzar, who gets a big head, and he goes on a real vegetable diet. Matter of fact, it's a lot of grass. His nails get really long. Read it. It's actually a cool story. And then the other story in chapter 5 is, how many of you have ever wanted God to speak to you and you said, God, if you would just, could you just write it on the wall? Well, he did. God literally wrote on the wall. It wasn't a good thing. It wasn't, you know, it's not the kind of message you want to get on the wall. But today we're going to start in chapter 6. And by this time, Daniel and his friends, they've gone through a couple different kings. You had Nebuchadnezzar, you had Nebuchadnezzar's son, and then right after his son, they were conquered. The Babylonians were conquered by the Persian Empire. And so now you have a brand new king who's in charge. So, I mean, Daniel's getting up there now. As a matter of fact, according to scholars, they figure Daniel's about in his 80s by now. And anytime that you have a transition in power, people kind of make some decisions really quick on who's in and who's out. So let's start this morning. Daniel chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 through 3. So Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them 3 high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom the satraps would give an account, so the king might suffer no loss. But then Daniel became distinguished above all the other officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, high commitment people to God, they always are noticed by other people. I can tell you this, when your commitment level to God is high, people notice it. You will stand out. See, because Daniel is not jealous of the other people there. He's not. He's just doing his job. I mean, like I said, he's gone through multiple kings. He's gone through multiple, you know, trials in his life. And you know what? He's not an opportunist. He's seen the promotions and he's seen the demotions in life. I mean, Daniel, we find, remember in the beginning, we didn't find him complaining when God demoted him from Israeli royalty down to captive of war. We didn't see any complaints. And then even after that, as God promotes him, we see still the same excellent spirit. Still the same one who says, you know what? No matter who I'm serving, I'm going to give God honor first, and I'm still going to honor those who are in authority over me. We see in verse 4, then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regards to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Again, people who are of high commitment to God are easily noticed. People notice these things. I mean, it's not like, not everyone is going to like the blessings of God in your life. Not everyone's going to like that. Matter of fact, God, look, having God in your life and you following his plan for you will sometimes literally put a target on your back. It really will. It's called pride and jealousy that happens in other people. People don't like to see other people blessed sometimes. But look, we can't live our lives, you know, that way. We can't see people as stepping stones in our life. We have to see them as co-laborers with us. And I've sometimes seen that attitude actually go into the church and in some of our own family relationships. It means that we need to learn to celebrate with people when they're blessed. Just in the same way that we need to mourn with people when they're mourning, when they're sad. It's interesting. I've saw this all the time, especially with Aaron growing up through Little League. It isn't easy always sometimes for you to be happy with your teammate to do well when they've got the starting position and you're on the bench. You know what I mean? When they're out there playing and you want to get in there and they like make a great play, I mean, what should you be as a teammate?
good job. All right, nice catch. But inside you're like, dang it. They caught it. You know, when they go up there, they smack that home run. And you're like, yes, kind of. Not sure, because you want to get out there, right? Because, I mean, they have what you want. I mean, it's really easy, and we don't want to admit this, to get really happy when all of a sudden they made an error or two. And you're kind of like looking at the coach, like, you know, should I go in and maybe help him a little? Or, you know, or they fall into a hitting slump. You know, they're like 0 for 12. And inside you should be like, oh, come on, man, you can do better. You should be encouraging them, right? You know, all right, come on, you know, work hard. And, you know, I'm sure it'll turn around. But inside you're like, ooh, my shot's coming. My shot's coming. All right, we don't want to admit that. I mean, Romans 12, verse 15. Write that down. Romans 12, verse 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I mean, it's part of being a family, isn't it? Develop relationships with each other to the point where if one family member gets a promotion, it's like you got one. You know what I mean? It's like coming alongside others and working hard next to them, loving them, so when they face a tragedy in their life, it's literally like it happened to you. That was like your son. That was your daughter. That was your mom. That was your dad. And you're praying and believing, and I mean, you're fasting almost for them just because that's family. Daniel 6, continuing in verse 5. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce it, an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. All right, let me explain what just happened. As we were talking about, when you're a person of high influence and God blesses you, other people aren't going to like it. They didn't. So these officials all kind of banded together and said, we got to get this guy. He's pretty soon he's going to be ruling over all of us. And so they work together and like, yeah, but man, we've looked, we've tried, we can't find anything wrong with him. They're like, all right, well, let's get him in regards to his relationship with God, because that's an area he won't bend. They remember the stories. They knew about the wine and the meat. They knew about the willingness to bow down. They knew about all the different areas of their life. They were there when he gave all the glory to God over the dream interpretation instead of taking. They knew all this stuff. So they're like, all right, let's go to the king and let's make a rule that they can't follow. Let's make a rule that says you can only worship the king for a whole month and you can't bow down to anyone else except the king. They went to the king, presented it. I'm sure the king was like, oh, a whole month of just people worshiping me? And all my leaders are telling me I should do it? Sure. Sounds like a great idea. Remember, this is not a man who's following after God. But see, I learned 2 points here, though. First, we need to strive to be such men of commitment where we are described the way Daniel was. No complaint can be found against him. Can you think of a compliment that's better than that? Can you think of any compliment that someone could place on you that, you know what, we've tried, we've looked, and we can't find any reason to get this guy in trouble? And trust me, they did. They watched them. They wanted to find any reason. That's why you can't sin.
That's a hard statement, isn't it? That means that you cannot intentionally do something that's wrong. You know why? Because I promise you, your sins will find you out. And people who are looking because you've said, I am a Christian, they're looking at you. They're watching. They are. But see, they did not want Daniel to be put in charge. But second point I've learned in reading this scripture, don't do anything rashly. Don't do anything quickly. Make sure you first get prayer and counsel. Always first. King Darius, you got to make this rule. You got to make it now and make it binding and make sure that you can't change it. And it's a great idea because we're all behind it. So do it. See, to many people, kind of both inside and outside the church, they make quick decisions based on feelings and emotions all the time. And you know what? When we make decisions based on those two things, it always ends up biting us in the end. Always. I mean, look at it this way. How many people have you ever tried to buy a car? You've been either to a new car dealership or a used car dealership. How many of you have ever been one? Okay. How many of you have ever tried to leave one of those places without buying a car? How many of you tried to? I mean, as you're like dragging, as the guy's wrapped himself around your leg, you've got three or four different managers telling you that you've made the worst decision in your life, that you're in regret forever. See, I see the smiles. I know you've been there. Because they know what? The longer that I keep you there, the better shot that I got of you buying a car, right? I can tell you this. There are so few decisions in your life that demand an immediate response, that demand an immediate answer. Most of the time, you have time to talk about it. You have time to pray about it. You have time to search the Word of God for it. You have time to go to your pastor or to other leaders that you trust, that you know hear from God and ask and get wise counsel. You have the time to do that. You know, when you hear in your mind the things that say, no, you can't wait. You got to make that decision now. You know, buy it now. Take that job offer now. You know, try that drink. Don't wait for marriage. Do it now. And all those other decisions that we feel the pressure that we have to do it now. See, I just remember the scripture. It says, they that wait on the Lord, that allow themselves to hear godly wisdom. That's why the decision to follow God and what the Word of God says already has to have been made. You already have to, because you know what I've learned is we are people of emotions. We are people of feelings, and that's what we are basing our decisions on. And when things are going really well in our life, we make happy decisions. And when things aren't going well in our life, we make really hard, depressing decisions. But you know what? Neither one of them are often God decisions, because we don't go to God and say, God, what do you want? We don't, when we feel what God is saying, we don't bring it to someone of counsel and say, all right, I'm emotionally attached to the decision. What do you think? Can you pray with me? Can you help me hear the voice of God in this? We don't do that. Talked about that this morning in our cup of coffee with Pastor this morning at 9. Verse 10 in Daniel. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Doesn't this sound familiar, right? Through no fault of his own, Daniel is caught in a situation where if he follows God's law, he's going to die. I mean, are any of us really surprised at Daniel's response? Like I said, this is a man in his 80s by now. You know, we don't see a show. We don't see him like yelling out his prayers, you know, in protest. Do you? I don't. Do you see him doing anything different than probably what he's been doing since day one when he was captured as a 13 to 15-year-old boy. This is a man, what, 65, 70 years later, still doing what God has called him to do. Daniel fulfills his commitment to God. See, when our commitment to God is attacked, we need to stay the course. We need to continue down the same path that God has called us to do. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Again, people of high commitment are easily noticed. When you have a commitment level to God that is high, people are watching you. They are. Sometimes it's good reasons, and sometimes it's not for good reasons that they're watching you. People will see your successes. They'll see your failures. And once we're letting people, like, once you've announced to people that you follow after Jesus, it's like it ramps that up so much more. They're watching you even more. I've learned that our witness is one of the most fragile things that we own. It is. Our witness, when we tell people that we follow God, how many times does it take for you to do something that goes against God's word that they see that it breaks your witness? Fragile. Handle it with care. Verse 12, then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except you, O king? I love the O kings, you know. They're being so polite to the king. Shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who's one of those exiles from Judah, he pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. You know, sometimes when we walk through things in life, it isn't God. It's not even the enemy. It's jealous people who are out to get you. It's true. We're blaming the devil. We're blaming God. And you know what? It's because you've been faithful and people don't like it. They don't like seeing God bless people. They want to be blessed. So you know what? Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you hang around with. You need to be around people who aren't going to do this to you. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Wow, this is the king. I mean, what a mark of maturity in Daniel. This shows just how much influence that he has. He had made such a high impression on that king. You know, this is the king working his tail off to get Daniel, a captive slave from a conquered nation that he just happened to get through conquering another nation. And he's working. Matter of fact, it says that he was distressed. He was ripped up. I can't lose this guy. I mean, have we left such an impression, you know, with our coworkers, with our neighbors, our classmates, our teammates, or any other person that we're around, that they would hate to lose you? That they just, I can't imagine losing you. I mean, we used to ask this. Remember, Dad, we used to ask this, you know, if FCA were to close its doors, would Middletown care? Would they care? Would they even notice if all of a sudden we put a for sale sign out front? Would they notice? Would we be missed? Would they mourn or celebrate when you left your job? If you left your school, if you left your team, If you left your neighborhood, would they be like, oh man, I hope we get another neighbor like them? Or would they have been like, oh, they left? Oh. Verse 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it's a law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king established can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. Isn't that cool? The king noticed. Like I said, I'm telling you, when you live a life of integrity, when you live a life of high commitment to God, people notice. They see it. Faithfulness to God is contagious. It really is. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. See, there was a tradition, matter of fact, that kings would relax in the evening with music, and that helped them sleep. No diversions that evening. He didn't want anything. He wasn't even eating. This is an ungodly man. He didn't know the king. He didn't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This isn't Nebuchadnezzar. That's an impression. Verse 19, then at break of day, the king arose and went with haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Can't you hear the king saying that? Daniel, you've shown such incredible dedication to your God. Did he deliver you? Did he come through? We all know the king was hoping so, right? I mean, we're watching the beginnings of faith just sprout out in him. That's what people want. When they see tragedy strike your life, you know what they want? They want you to succeed, whether they're willing to admit it or not, because you know why? They have tragedy in their life, and they're looking for something real. They're looking for someone to say, yeah, I just went through this awful job situation. Yeah, I went through this terrible marriage situation. Yeah, my kids went crazy. This awful thing happened, but you know what? I stood on the word of God, and I believe he's going to carry me through. You know what? Sometimes you're saying that inside the den of lions. And you know what? People are going to come running. Are you all right? Did you get through? See, because you said that you were a Christian, right? You said that you believed God. It's so easy to do that when you're in the throne room, right? When you're, you know, all right, I judge this, and all right, this is my decree. But when you're in the den, that's when they're going to be looking. Did he save you? Are you still happy today? Remember, you were happy every other day last week. Are you happy today? I'm not saying you're perfect, because you know what? We have times in our life. That's why we need family. That's why we don't live life alone. And if you're trying to live life alone, you're going to fail. You need to be. That's why the Super Bowl party should be packed to the gill. Why? Because you know what? Every one of you are going through different storms in your life, whether you're willing to admit it or not. Do you want to live life alone? Or do you want to live life with people next to you saying, you know what? Your God's able. You know what? You can do all things. You know what? I'm going to pray for you this week. Matter of fact, you have any issue at all, here's my cell number. You call me anytime, and I will pray for you, and I will encourage you on the spot. That's what we're here for. And why do we need that? Is so when, not if, but when we're thrown in the lion's den, that we're going to be able to stand. Because that's when the people who don't know Jesus are watching. They're watching us like a hawk. Verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. You picture the king's like, woohoo! I mean, they don't say it, but I had a feeling. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. Here we see Daniel again giving glory to who? God. God. All the glory goes to him. All of it. He also, look, he lets us in on another secret, though. You did notice that, right? He said, I was found blameless to my God, but I was also found blameless to who? You, king. That's the king who threw him into the lion's den. That's the king who rashly made a law that gutted Daniel. It was a death sentence that he signed for Daniel. And Daniel still said, no, I've been blameless before you. What an incredible witness. Not only to those who were against him, but to those who were for him. I just wanted to high five him, you know? Just, Daniel, he did. But that's an important point, though. Here's another one. You know, the king gets happy, right? What actually happens is he gets Daniel out of the lion's den, and then he puts all of Daniel's enemies into the lion's den. They say that they didn't even reach the floor. They threw him in there, and they didn't even reach the ground before they were ripped to shreds. Read it. Read the story. You know what that tells me? God is our vengeance. God is our vengeance. God, not you. God is our vengeance. God will take care of his kids. Don't do it yourself. Do not. You know what happens in my house when one of my kids decide to punish one of my other kids? They deal with Big D. Yeah, they do. Don't. Matter of fact, I am more tough on the ones who decided to punish one of my other kids than the one who did the thing wrong in the first place. Don't take God's job. Don't. Allow God to be your dad. He will handle the discipline any way he wants to. Leave it to God. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree. Get worried again. He's making another decree. Yeah. That in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and he rescues. He works signs and wonders in the heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lion. Yet again, Daniel leads another head of a nation to God, only through faithfulness, not manipulation, not guilt, not judgment, just through obedience. That's it. All right, let me wrap this up. So we've seen the life of a 13 to 15-year-old boy. That's really what they were when they first were there. Obviously, they were raised to honor God, right? Because remember, they're not getting any more teaching from home. It shows me just how big of an impact we can have on our kids before the ages of 13 to 15. It shows the responsibility that we as parents have with our kids. I mean, I love the fact that how teens are serving here at Faith Christian Assembly. We have Ella, we have Max, we have Philip on the worship team. Isn't that awesome? We have Aaron on the sound team. We have Brittany, Alyssa, Jonathan, Sammy, Brennan. They're all serving in the kids' ministry. We have, matter of fact, even now, Becky has decided to be an intern with Pastor Tori. I mean, God is beginning to do cool things through the youth inside of Faith Christian Assembly. So, you know, there's a higher percentage of youth serving than adults serving here at Faith Christian Assembly. And that's awesome. But it shows that God can use you at any age if you are willing and available. I didn't even say talented. If you're willing and available. But see, it also shows that if you commit yourself to God in everything you do, he will be glorified. He will. Yes, you may have a few death sentences placed on you. You might be thrown into a fiery furnace. You might be locked into a lion's den. Believe it or not, God may or may not save you. That's the truth. But you know what? You'll learn not to care. Because as long as God's will is accomplished, you'll be satisfied. You will be. Why? Well, let's end with the scripture that we started with. This is why. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will be able to learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Look, it's because of what he has done. He gave everything for us. Let's commit today, as we reflect back on the life of Daniel, that every decision that we make, whether we're willing to admit it or not, it's already made. We've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If you do that, people will notice. Promise you, some people will love it and you'll have best friends for life. Others won't, and they'll attack you. They will fight you. But even those that attack and fight, even those that throw you into a furnace, even those that throw you into a den of lions, if you prove faithful in the end, they will call and know who God is. They will know who your Savior is. You'll be able to speak words of life into them that no one else has a shot of doing. And that's what we're called here to do on earth, right? What was Jesus' words? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples, right? That's our job. That's what you're called. Let's celebrate the life of Daniel, a servant who will stand and has stood before God and will one day hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand?